bragging about it. And the next morning in April, it snowed, Barbara, and I looked out the window and saw all the ground covered, and I just thought that was cruel. I had a t-shirt on the day before, it was bragging, this is amazing, wow, it's like beach tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. Thus the word Illinois.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, if you're born and raised in this state. Well, no, you can complain if you've been here more than 10 years, but it's kind of funny, because people tell me when I'm other states, you know, it's typical, you Illinoisans complain a lot about the weather. I said, well, we do, because we don't live where you live. Well, the grass is always greener. And I got to imagine if I was in a tropical climate, I'd be going, you know, this heat is just knocking me down, man. I want some snow. In fact, coming back from Vietnam, I was actually going, the cold weather's going to be nice, because that kind of heat tears you up a little bit. Well, talking about somewhat a subject this morning, and we're going to go into Exodus. Of Exodus 3, 1 through 4, and you know, I think about the ways God speaks. He speaks in so many ways. Obviously, number one standard that guides all things, if you have an inkling from the Lord and it doesn't match with this, it's not the Lord speaking, you know. God will never tell you to do something that contradicts his word, and I love that because even when I, you know, felt the call to the ministry, yes, this Bible doesn't have a verse that says, Mike, you're supposed to do thus and such, or Anna, you're supposed to do thus and such, or Barbara, you know, but that inclination in our heart. And I think what I discovered through my years, and it really, I didn't understand it early on, was that when people were talking about God inclining them or speaking, I always thought it was just audible. That's what I thought. I mean, that's what, kind of how you hear it. And as I became a believer, I understood that God was speaking to me through many different circumstances. He was speaking to me with his voice in my heart, but it was silent. And I pitched my ear to it. And I, you know, it's kind of funny, though, because there are times where why would I'm not going to seek an answer that's already written. I don't know about this, though. Sometimes God brings a word to you, like in the scripture. Do you ever have that? You're reading and it just jumps. And a lot of times they use a term called rhema. There's two words, logos, which is your word. Rhema is a different word used for the word of God in the scripture, or just where he can speak directly to your heart, and it's a personalized thing. I've been at times needing the voice of God, and sometimes I've been in my Bible, and absolutely, he was speaking, because as I hit that particular truth, it just jumped off at the page. It was personal. God was kind of crying out. And then there's other times where God's spoken to me. This morning, though, my goal is to talk a bit about the voice of God and the different ways he goes on. And I think about the time of Samuel. He was a little boy. He was going to be a prophet of God. And he was in the temple, and it's kind of funny. I imagine this little guy with this little robe, and the woman had cried out for a child. She was barren. God gave her a child. She said, if God gives me a child, I will dedicate him to the Lord. That's a tough one. God heard her prayer, right? Has Samuel, and has to bring him to the temple. That's a tough one. And then God starts speaking to Samuel, and he just calls his name. He doesn't give him a big thing. He just says, Samuel. And at first, Samuel runs to Eli the priest and says, yes, what did you want? And it takes three times before Eli finally discerns and goes, wait a minute, that's God. And he's speaking to Samuel. So he tells Samuel, next time your name is spoken, say, speak, thy servant is listening. And this is really critical because I've seen God speak through people, to the heart. I've seen God speak through people from out of state, in state. And there's a beautiful thing that you need to appreciate. And I'm telling you something. If you're open more, it seems to not happen this all the time. But when you're open to God speaking to you, you know, some people have told me, I've talked to them, they said, I don't really hear God. And then I would try to explain that it can be intuitive, you know, that it can be through others. And a lot of times, and I find that we can hone our ear to say, I want to hear you, God. And the reason I stress this today is because there's so many things we get involved with that we need to hear God. At least the internal voice, one that's silent, but still has a volume in your mind. We need to hear the voice of God. We're in a place. But Samuel says to Eli says to Samuel, he recognizes it's God beginning to speak. And Samuel's just a little guy. Finally, he speaks, and somebody older explains to Samuel, you do realize Samuel would have kept coming to Eli all night because his hearing wasn't honed to the divine. So even when the divine spoke, and you would have to say it was pretty audible. Now, there's another trick to that. What if God could speak to you, Armand, and actually speak to you, and you would hear him, and maybe nobody else could? It's possible. What if there was a volume, but it was a volume only you could hear? So it's possible that it's in Samuel's head. It's possible that it's audible to where the room can hear. But it's funny because someone that's older comes up next to Eli and realizes this, that he discerned that it was the voice of God. So it takes a few times, but he's catching up. And then he tells Samuel how to respond when he's spoken to. And it's interesting because obviously, speak for thy servant is listening is mandatory. God speaks to his children. He speaks to his servants. He does. He speaks to the world and then he tells them of the gospel and to repent. But the personal, intimate voice of God that leans you sometimes and gives you insight. You're serving the Lord. You're saying, speak for thy servant is listening. You're speaking to me as a son, and you're also speaking to me as your servant, Jesus. And move me in those ways, because a servant is bowed down to the will of the Father. That doesn't mean God doesn't send words. Me and my wife through the years have seen some incredible ways. We've seen God speak through people, strangers. We've seen him speak in crowds to others that we knew the life situation, and somebody comes in and speaks a prophetic word and says, I believe strongly from the Lord, this is this and this is this. We've seen people absolutely blow this off. Even though the room was small and the situation was described with such accuracy, you'd go, how can you miss it? My goal is to hear the voice of God, not just intuitively, but also I want to recognize him when he's speaking through you. I do. I want to recognize him when he's speaking through a person preaching. I want to recognize him when he's getting something to me. Now, all the word of God is the word of God. In fact, this will hold us bound from the beginning of our life till the end. And the word of God is the word of God. But God leans people and he inclines people. And I've taught on this before. It's not a first time. But because there's an ongoing need. And I actually think now we need discernment. We need God to give us kind of that yes, that no sometimes. I need to know. And it's funny, like anything, it's like a hinge. If it's not used a lot, it'll be really rusty. But you'll be surprised when you pitch your ear what you can hear. Now, I started hearing early on when I was younger, and it was a little confusing because I didn't quite understand it. And I had a quandary because I would get something and it was silent. It was in my head, I could hear it. It wasn't audible to the acoustics. And it was some very specific things God began to deal with me. So even at a young age, I was kind of blessed because I could kind of hear, but I wasn't certain. And then I'll never forget, as a new Christian, reading in the Gospel of John, and Jesus said one statement, my sheep know my voice. And when I read that, even the Lord prompted my heart and said, that's it, Mike. The reason you can hear me isn't about your worth. You can hear me because you're mine. And I'm your Savior. I'm Jesus. And when I speak, you will listen. So if you're curious, Mike, as to what's going on, this intuitive voice that you told me to, you know, there's times I heard things to do, to meet people, to speak to people that were in places where I didn't know people were there and went there and they were there. One time, even as I walked up, the people said, you've got something to speak to us about. Wow. Not friends, not relationships, not people that I was in some kind of relationship with or really had much knowledge of. But the beautiful thing of the voice of God is really critical, and I will say this. There's so many times that he has bailed me out, saved my life. And there's many times where he has spoken and I've heard things that I needed to. And it's interesting because, again, there's Samuel the third time. Finally, somebody that's smart enough to say, hey, that's God speaking to you. So the next time he calls, have the servants here. And there's a difference between an ear that's never known it and a servant's ear. And it's funny because from that time on, what does the Lord tell him? He starts to tell them about Israel and judgment on the house of God. So much so that even the judgment is going to be towards Eli. It's going to be his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who are corrupt priests. And he says, you know, the voice of all will itch to hear what I am going to speak. And he begins to specifically undress the sin of Eli, of Hophni and Phinehas, and their father was a compromiser. What was Eli's compromise? Well, he favored his sons so much when they were wicked, he would not stop them from doing what they were doing. But it's interesting just to say, Eli was fat. And I mean fat. very fat. I don't mean chubby. I don't mean he had a gut. I mean Eli was obese. And there's a reason we know that, because God judged his sons, and he killed both of his sons in one day. And when Eli heard it, it says he leaned back in his chair, and it says, for he weighed a lot. Basically, is what the Hebrew says. And he fell back and broke his neck. Do you know how much you got to weigh to break your neck on an impact fall backwards? And now people go, hey, you can break your neck on anything. You can. But one of the sins of the sons was taking meat before it was properly burnt offering, because the priest could live when it was burnt thoroughly and the fat was off of it. But there's a tie-in, because Eli is chubby. It tells you that his sons were actually taking the meat out before it was offered correctly. Why was Eli so big? Eli was so big because they were bringing in the fresh cuts of meat off of the altar that were wicked, because they weren't supposed to do that. That was a sacrifice. You can't mess with the sacrifice. But as God began to prompt me and said, my sheep hear my voice, there was no method. And as I came to the church, there was books out, How to Hear the Voice of God, 5 Signs of the God Speaking. And I was always a little simpler, because I just believed if you're his kid, there could be some teaching. But it wasn't quite as complex, because Jesus has a way of speaking to you mildly in your mind. He can be audible. I've only had that a couple times in my entire life. The rest is intuitively. It's in my mind. But there's a stewardship. Let me explain this. There's a stewardship. A lot of you, even now, if I'm preaching this, sometimes when I hear messages like this, I'm actually kind of going through a Rolodex in my mind of times I've heard the Lord, or that were even where I thought it might have been the Lord and I wasn't sure. One thing I'm going to say this today, God can speak specifically in many ways to you and guide you to things. But I will say this, listening is really important. God's spoken to me with great detail and I neglected it. Absolutely. God gave me stuff that was like, there's a street called straight kind of stuff, and I absolutely screwed it up. What a beautiful thing to have the word of the Lord speak to you. And he invited me to take a night with him intimately. And he told me a friend would call, and exactly what the friend would say. And when the friend called and say, I told him to come on over. Is this it? No biggie. Spend time with me. I'm like, yes, God, that's good. Your servant is listening. Well, wasn't being too much of a servant, because food, I served social interaction over the voice of God. Who knows what God would have, do you know what I'm saying? Who knows that night if I would have obeyed, what more would God have spoken? Now, I'm not getting into condemnation and saying, well, it's all over, but I will tell you something. It was a gosh darn long time before he spoke specifically to me after that, because I don't listen. And it's interesting how we need the voice of God in situations. God's got something to say. Let me explain something to you. Whether you hear a lot, a little, or you can think of some intuitive times, I'm kind of perking your ears up to give you a confidence today to say, you know, there's some things that I've got the scripture. There's like I said, we've got so many guidelines. And we even got guidelines that would kind of tell us when it comes from above, when God is speaking. It says it's pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable. So what do I do? And God's, I'm mad, gosh darn it. And I know the Lord wants me to go tell this sister off or this brother. I'm going to say this a combination of, well, let's weigh that. You're mad as heck. You're ready to tear their head off. And yet it says the wisdom from above has peace on it. Even if it's conflict, it has peace. So I'm going to discern from the scripture that I believe the voice of God is telling me to go and rip their head off. And I'm going to look at the scripture, and it's going to also be like a governor or a clutch on what I'm about to do. Because I'm stirred up, my spirit's not right, and I'm going to tear. And then I do look at the scripture and say, that couldn't be the voice of God. That can't be the voice of God. So there's a multi-combination I'm trying to show you of how this works. There are times where you will get a hunch, and it is like a hunch. And it is God trying to speak to you, and it will check out. God will sometimes even bring scriptures that will correlate with where he's guiding you, and your spirit will be right. You know, it's interesting, the apostles once said to the Father, to Jesus, a town wouldn't receive Jesus, and they said, do you want us to call fire down like Elijah? The apostles believed, even at that point, they were his disciples, he was alive. They believed that they could do that. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. Meaning, you might have an authority, but you're not. Your spirit's not right. You want fire to come down and consume the city because it wouldn't receive me. And I've got kind of a little bit of a more redemptive plan. I won't burn to death today. And then he even tells these guys, you don't know what spirit you're of. Meaning this, sometimes isn't it true that our motivations and the way we come off, we're running ahead and we're not even, in fact, it even takes the Lord to really come, Jesus, to say, I know you think you're on a righteous crusade, but your spirit's not right. So as much as you're running ahead for God, you may not be running ahead for God, and the Bible wants to guide you in that. And I think it's really critical that we understand. And I throw this out because we're in a relationship, and I think it's really important. So for me, as a young guy, Jesus saying, "My sheep hear my voice," it cut through a lot of the stuff that I didn't understand, meaning it wasn't like when I was raised Catholic, you would, you know, be celibate and make a priestly. And I actually thought the priests were in those that rose water smelling hall, you know, because there's a lot of scents with Catholicism. You might not have been raised Catholic, I was, so there's a smell. I'd swear they make it in a can and spray it in the mass before we step in. And it's got like rose water. And I used to think those guys actually talked to God and God talked to them. In fact, I went and visited when I was 10 years old. I had made friends with this guy that was a priest in training. And me and my friends would go talk to him at Tallentine College. And I asked him, because we're in this marble hall, I said, "So does God speak to you?" And he said, "Well, no, not really." And, you know, it was kind of giving me a Catholic answer. But I'm thinking, you guys must hear from God, because, wow, look what you've done for God. And yet I realized that God speaks to his children out of a means of necessity, not simply privilege. God speaks to you because he has to. Whether that was a sense you had about something and you went left instead of right, whether something you picked it up and you had this. A lot of times we say, "I had this bad feeling," and God warned you about stuff. That was God speaking to you. You might not have recognized the definitive voice, but much more in this age, I think we need to understand that. I really do. Now, when you preach something like this, I've used to tell people that were believers, "I guarantee you God's spoken." I said, "I don't guarantee whether you totally knew it was him or not, but I guarantee you he has spoken to you about things. He's moved your heart. You just maybe you don't recognize his voice, but he's spoken to you. And I guarantee you there's not a one of in this room, one of us in this room that God hasn't spoken to you through someone else. That's not even a question. Because he does that. In fact, one of the biggest tricks we need to know is that we need to start to understand that God speaks to those around us. That doesn't mean every time somebody says something, it's coming from the throne. But there are really, really, really critical times where God speaks through you directly. Maybe the person didn't see it as that dramatic. In fact, sometimes maybe the person missed it entirely. It wasn't you. They might have reduced what you said to, you know, that's Barbara, that's Anna, that's somebody. Oh, they're Christians. And I will tell you something. It's interesting, in one of those verses it says, "As much as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it unto me." There's a truth about that. God approaches us through the humble, through the broken. He approaches us through those that are less years than us. Sometimes he approaches us through people that have more years. He can approach us through children and speak. And the important part is we want to have a sensitivity to the voice of God. Because what is the one way we defend ourselves, guys? Think about it. Stick with me for a second. What is the one way we've got to be able to defend ourselves? You need those times. I'll never forget, I had this little kid come up to me, and we're at 147. I think 147 had some good points, but there's some of it I'd like to cash in. And he said, "You need to tell me something." And he was cute. You know, kids are cute, and you're like patting them on the head. And he said, I saw something. I'm saying, "Okay, yeah, what is it?" He said, "There was a man standing next to you when you preached. And he was like, he was a lot taller than you." So I'm kind of reaching my hand up because, and he says, and he would read off something. He had something in his hand. That was a kid, mind you. In fact, some of the depth he went into, it's really hard for a little kid. He said he would read, and when he would stop, you would talk. And when you would stop talking, he would read some more. And when he was done, you would talk. And he said it went on like that the entire sermon. Now, there was something that this little kid didn't realize. I've had experience with angelic beings a couple times. Not a whole lot. You can put them on less than two hands in my entire life, but I've had them nevertheless. And sometimes the Spirit of God speaks in your spirit. Sometimes angels are sent as ministering spirits, and it says they're sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. There are times it's like, and I've used to call it an angelic script, I can't even tell when I'm speaking, that somebody's whispering in my ear. And it's not standard. It's not like normal. In fact, it's not even like when the Spirit of God speaks. It's more of an edict. Now, people go, "Oh, gosh, come on, Mike, this is so cosmic and far out." But it's funny because really the Scripture shows this kind of interaction through all the pages. The voice of God is really critical. And whether God's speaking through, you know, sending an edict with an angel, or the Holy Spirit is in your very spirit speaking, or the Spirit moves somebody next to you and they start speaking into you. We have to have a heart that says, I want to hear the Lord. I think one of the problems in the Word of God is, the Word of God is sufficient, but when I say that, it doesn't mean God doesn't have many ways He moves. Because even as, it's funny, we talk about the Word of God, and you'll get even people that don't believe God speaks at all. Yet they will tell you they felt an inclining to something, which, again, sorry, God spoke. But yet it's this Bible that I hold that is sufficient, that it once again and again reveals the Lord speaking to His people, reveals angelic interaction, even sometimes angelic defense to save lives. So it's not really far out. It's not only in the book that we read, but it proves to be very crucial. We know that Paul, remember, he's the Spirit. He will say, and the Spirit says, you know, Jesus said, go here. I have many people in this city. And it says, and Paul prospered there and worked because that was an avenue. The church is coming back to the place where the voice of God is going to matter more than ever. I'm serious. Where a walking relationship is going to count. And there are those that will be given special listening ears. I do believe that. Although I believe any of us can hear. I don't believe it's a matter of privilege. But again, it's callings. It's mandates. But there's coming a time where we're going to really have to get on the ball. You know what I often do with people that are kind of stuck? I'll talk to them and I'll say, when's the last thing God spoke to you? And I've had all kinds of answers. Well, it was about 5 years ago. And I'm just thinking, I know God's speaking more than that, so I want you to perk your ears up. I've had people say, oh gosh, 25 years. I'm just thinking, wow, okay. He wants to have an interactive relationship with you. He wants to teach you how to read that intuitive voice of His. He wants you to recognize when He's come to you through other people and not write it off to human beings. Here's the problem. When God speaks to me through others, especially when it's stuff that is sound biblically, and I reject it, it really is the same as rejecting God's voice. It's no different. The fact that I didn't see God audibly or visibly doesn't change He's trying to speak to me through people. That story at the time, he always tells me, that kid that was all ticked off, and he was at the Morningstar coffee house, and he was just ticked. He was in there, and he was, you know, the message, a friend drug him there, and he just literally walked out like, just, and I can't even use the word that hit my mind, you know, but like, blank this. And this dump truck hit a man right out in front of Morningstar. And they literally had to get, you know, those shovels, the flat shovels, because it had squished the kid, and they had to scrape some of them off of the side of the cement, actually. It's really gross. And there was his Judas Priest tape smashed about 3 feet from his outstretched arm. And Judas Priest was really blasphemous. They did a concert, actually. My friend came home, and I remember it stung me. We were stoned, but they took a cross, and they tipped it upside down. And they had kids coming up and renouncing their Christianity and their faith. And some kids, my friend said, were like falling out. That wrecked my high for the night because I was a backslider. But there's this kid, you know what I mean? No biggie. God was speaking to him. He was speaking to him through the preacher. He was begging him to turn around. That kid was going to be dead within 1 hour. God knew the time was here. And I got to assume if he recognized the voice of God, well, obviously, too, the gospel was going out. I don't know that he would have been run over. I don't think it would have went the same. And yet it says in the scriptures, the wicked are cut off before their time, meaning there's a number of years that many times God allots. So it doesn't mean if I die young, I was wicked, but there's a case to be made that I've had friends that have overdosed, that didn't use drugs, they wouldn't be dead today. I have multiple friends that died at 17 years old. Horrible. Never hit their time. Now I'm going to read to you in Exodus, and let's go over to Exodus 3, 1 through 4. In the case of Moses, it says, now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Now what's weird about it, it says the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses, but it really was a fire on a bush. And yet that was how God was reaching to Moses. He could have just stood there, right, in a robe and said, hey. But he did something different, and he called it a sign. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. There's a really simple reason. You guys know what tumbleweeds are? You ever hear of them? In that land, it is, it is, it is stone, rock, and desert, some greenery. And there's these little bushes that sometimes they're dead. They grow up and they die. And the heat gets so hot, occasionally they ignite. And they actually burn up. And they burn quick. They burn quick. As quickly as they light up, its flame gets real big and the whole bush is gone. It's ash. And yet Moses wants to see it because it doesn't make sense. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Of course. It's pretty simple. But he said, "I must turn aside." And I want to tell you something, guys. This is, I've always called the turning aside part is the ability to pray. Turn aside. I stress prayer to people so strongly because I really believe God has spoken to me on the fly. God has spoken to me in the prayer room on my knees. I think we need it. I get in prayer meetings and the only thing that cracks me up is a person will say, "All right, we're going to have a prayer meeting and we're going to pray and listen." And then people will talk for an hour and a half. I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'm not sure where the listening part came in, but you certainly did a lot of requests, okay." And I don't mind people praying hard, but it was interesting. But God sometimes, he starts to call us to listen. You could be 50, you could be 60. I'm going to tell you something. God, and I had a word from the Lord, and he told me something a couple of years ago, and I'll say it out loud. And he said, "I'm going to move in such a way where you're going to see people realize their callings in their 60s, their 70s, in their 80s. Very clearly, he said it to me, and he said, "Take every call seriously that you see." Oh, geez, yeah, they need to go away. So anyway, you get this situation where I get a word from the Lord, and I'm like, because don't we normally think, like, I'm this age, and I got a little bit of time, and blah, blah, blah. You get where I'm coming from, guys? And then suddenly we go, you know, I think I'm done. And I used to tell people, don't say you're done. You're done when you exhale, and that's when we say we're going to miss you, and I do your eulogy, or I join your family. And it was really important because not only did I meet more people of older age actually starting to walk in their callings, I saw some things since that time. This is actually some years ago. It's a few years ago, maybe four. And I realized that, you know, in our mindset, we're like, "Hey, I'm kind of done, and I'm going to relax." And there's nothing wrong with rest. You worked hard all your life. Retirement can be a good thing. But what a beautiful thing. Think about this for a second. I mean, when he gave me that age bracket, it really stung me a bit. Because I'm thinking, yeah, you need to rest. Well, yeah, resting is fine. But I'm also thinking, opportunities, man. You know, it's hard. And, you know, and even when I go do temporary stuff for Bruce, I mean, we get on a job. I leave at 6:15 from his house. I get home at 6:30. I'll be honest with you, there's not a lot of, you know what I mean? Then I get in the shower and stare at the wall for a half hour and eat. Now it's 7:30 or 8. Well, now I've got to get some sleep at 10. Because a couple nights I stayed up till 1, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. I do it again. I say, "Oh gosh, I'm so dead on the job, I can't do that again." And we'd be praying and I do it again. And I will say this, I got better. I started hitting it at 11. But again, the Lord says turn aside. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a time that where God asks you to turn aside, he does. He'll incline your heart just to get with him. It won't be a specific word. It'll be an inclination. But it's his voice. Because sometimes we don't turn aside. We're in an era that's so fast. Time. In fact, let's be honest. Are we not addicted to movement? When I grew up in the age where, A, there was a curlicue cord on the phone. And you could only walk as far as the cord was. And if you wanted a cordless phone, you had to unplug it and play like somebody was on there. Because there was no cordless phone. I was in a time where TVs, you had 2, 5, 9, channel 11, and then all of a sudden 32 came, and it was like 32. Wow, that's what we had. That was it. Cell phones, there was, I didn't even know that such an invention would happen at that time. So here's what happened. You played, you hung around, but there was downtime. And you weren't constantly viewing and seeing things. Your eyes weren't filled with images. Stories weren't always running on your phone. You weren't always getting push notifications. It was different. More than ever in the generation we're in, I believe the voice of God is calling out to his kids and he's saying, turn aside to see this marvelous sight. I want to speak to you. Turn aside. You're going to have to find some quiet. The burden of that is greater now, I believe, than it's ever been because we're in such an age of technological advancement that silence is an allergy. I mean, it's something like an allergy. You try to stay away from it might give you a hive. See, what a lot of us aren't thinking, myself included, I love the conveniences, don't you? I actually love when I'm in Sisyphon or Abadabong, Cambodia, and I can find a Wi-Fi and text my wife, good night, I love you. That's an awesome thing. It really is. Because 20 years ago, being in Abadabong, and I've heard of the missionaries talking, the older guys, that stuff was primitive, man. In fact, even if you had the money, good luck finding a line in some of the villages. There wasn't even a phone line. And then if you dared found a line, you would pay amounts that you could not afford to do. So it would cut you off. But Moses went and he broke, and then they started a relationship, and he started to speak. Number two, turn aside. Number three, Exodus 19, I want to read this to you. So God starts to call you to turn aside, to pay attention to him, all right? He begins to call you aside. It's a privilege to be called aside because I think it's something God desires for all of us. And I want to say this. If you have a time where you go, I got my prayer time. I love that saying, and I'm going to tell you why I love it. Well, because it's so awesome. Because so many people don't. If you got a special time, you're already getting down. Fantastic. If you've got a time where you've already said, hey, I allot this, and I'm grateful for that because more people and more people have stopped doing that, and it's hurting the church. It's hurting the Christian. The Christian feels out of touch. They feel distant. They're not taking the prayer time with their Father. They're not feeling plugged in. Verse 17 in chapter 19, and this is already, they're in the wilderness. Moses already had this burning bush experience. Now he's took out over 1.5 million people out of Egypt, and God delivered them. In chapter 19, verse 17 of Exodus, we're in Exodus. Moses brought the people out to the camp to meet God, like he has an intimacy, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. Wow, that is not something where you go, isn't that cozy? I'm thinking, wow. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And I want to say this. Sometimes when you read this, New Testament Christians go, well, that's a lot of religion. It's not a religion, it's the fear of the Lord. And there's a special thing when you're getting, when you're coming near the Lord. And here's the other thing. You know how I'll start a worship service and say, all right, we're going to change gears now. And the reason is simple. The mindset I had when I ate a boiled egg in the morning is not the mindset when I bow my knee to the Father. The mindset I have when I go up to the window at Wendy's and say, I'll have a double, is not the mindset when I bow my head and say, Father God. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying on the fly. But there's something about a sacred time between you and the Father. There's something where you take your mind and you've got to switch gears. The world we live in is so chaotic. Verse 23, and Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou didst warn me, saying, set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. So God does try to draw them, and it says that he drew them. He takes them, and chapter 20 says, and all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. Moses says to the people, don't be afraid. For God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. There's something interesting. When we draw near to God, and I've seen this happen, when people have that sense, and I've seen this, where they encounter God. I've seen this happen, and it causes a lot of different emotions to churn. These people, though, in fact, the problem is, these people... God wants to draw them in, but just what they're seeing, they'd rather just get it secondhand from Moses. Well, there's another scripture where God actually says the reason they did it is because they weren't right. Because the same people that say, you speak to God and tell us and we'll listen, they're the same people who said, make us another God to go before us. Now, the reason I talk about your prayer time and connecting and just opening your ear and saying, Father, speak, your servant is listening, and kind of pitching your ear. And when I say pitching your ear, we can have our ear to hear a certain sound. You can actually focus in. Like I said, if somebody sits there and says, God will not even incline my heart, they don't even believe in that, well, they're not going to hear anything. So when I say pitch your ear, I'm talking about putting yourself in a place. But it's interesting. Many times I see people, and they're Christians, and they're living in such a way where I look and I go, I would that they would have an experience with God because they need to get nearer. They're reading about God, but they need to encounter God in their prayer time. And there's not a lot of intimacy there, and if they would, it would change them. See, this is the interesting thing about the aspect of putting ourselves in a position to hear, praying, and being in that time. The people revealed something because it wasn't just that they were afraid, guys. They weren't right. Now, it's funny, and I've often told people, if you really want to cure compromise, increase your prayer life and open your ear. Because getting near God in an intimate setting does more for one's life than anything I can tell you. What bothers me is intellectualism people, they kind of go, I'm struggling, I'll read some more scripture. That is okay, but if that is not balanced out with prayer time, you're going to have problems. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I've seen plenty of Christians do it. Your greater sense that God is right here, that he is right next to you, through the Spirit of God, that he wants to even deal, sometimes convict you. Don't do that. Do that. Fact of the matter is, we really need this intimacy with God. Many times, we are giving a moral lecture to people that are having a rebellion problem. And the moral lectures, you could start with that, but the intimacy with God is required. What you don't connect with, what you don't have a relationship to, whom you haven't given your heart, faithfulness to that being is going to be hard-pressed. That's why when Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you would know the Father. He didn't say that you would read the Word, that you would know the Father. And he speaks of a relationship. Remember when Jesus said, if anybody listens to me, and he says, me and my Father will come into him, we will dine with him. That's ongoing. Dinner is ongoing. Dinner is not a holiday. One of the problems that is striking the church is we've got a lot of intellectualism, we have a lot of programs, we have a lot of Bible verses splattered all over pages. But God's people are getting foreign with their Father, and they need to sit with their Father. They're taking away, they're getting rid of intimacy. They can talk the game, they can quote the scripture, but they can't sit still for a minute, they can't listen for a minute, and they don't enjoy the presence of God. And this is relational stuff that's really critical. That's why I'm telling you, when I hear those words, I have this time I pray, I love it because it's a start, absolutely. Get near to God. Draw near. What's it say? Draw near to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. In fact, what's interesting in James, when we talk about the fights we have, it doesn't say draw near to the scriptures, draw near to God, because intimacy was understood in the writing of James. Sit with the Father. Really talk to the Father. God will speak to you. God will move you. You know, I'll never forget, we were on the expressway, 355, me, Anna, a friend of ours, and Tommy. And we were coming down from the city, and Tommy said, I don't know why, but I just feel we got to pray. We're charismatic, so usually that can be whipped up in no time, so it's like, all right, let's pray. And we start to intercede, and Tommy starts to cry out. And we're on 355, he's doing 70, 75 miles an hour. We're in, I think, Chris's station wagon. And we come off, you know, the expressway by Sauk Village. And we pull in a parking lot because Tom said, that weird feeling. And the minute he stops the car, we hear, ding, 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 ding. And it was a total Ivor arm came off the front left tire and dropped on the ground. Now, I've actually lost an Ivor arm at full speed at 40. And when that comes off, your tire's free. If you're doing 75, it goes sideways, cocks, flips off, and let me tell you something. You're in trouble, especially when you're booking 75. And yes, Tommy should have been doing better speed, but that's what he was doing. And yet there was the Lord alerting us. Now, he didn't say, this is God. Start praying. Your eyebrow arm is, I actually got an angel holding it off for 24 miles. But that's exactly what happened. But there was the voice of God. And it was in the form of saying, we prayed and we started interceding. And it was really fervent. And all of us were, I'm like, wow, powerful. We're praying in the car. God's just visiting us. And I had no clue. But God spoke through Tom.
Tom said, I just feel from the Lord. And basically what he's saying is, we got to pray. We began to intercede. And that darn idler, that the whole front dropped off the tire. In fact, when it went ding, 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 the tire just went, we were almost at a stop, and you could hear it, and the tire just checked. Because when the idler comes off, it's not controlled anymore by the steering. And it's not pretty, guys. You understand what I'm saying? It's not pretty. Talking to God for these guys was difficult because in their heart, they were so impatient that as Moses went up for 40 days, they built another god, and it said they had an orgy. In fact, it says when Moses down, you could see the sons of Israel in their nakedness. This was a party. Unparalleled to many. You know, I want you to think about what a 1.5 million person orgy looks like. It's actually not pretty. It's not a pretty sight. So when Moses came down, you've got to understand something. It said the children rose up to play. In the Greek, in the New Testament, that word in Koine Greek means it's a sexual word, the word play. It's not like they went out to play with tiddlywinks or they played tops. That word, even in the New Testament, it mentions what they did. It's a word that has a connotation of a physicality, which you won't read it in English, you just say play. So were they playing charades? No, they weren't. And he says, you know, don't fear him, and he's drew you near him. I want you to think about something, because part of what I'm talking about, the voice, I'm also talking about getting near the Father, that you might not sin. Think about something. When you're close to God, and your proximity is close to God, you will tend to sin less. Talk to anybody that falls in repetitious sin, and I'm going to tell you right now. All the steps that they take, one characteristics, I don't care what they do or what their sin is, distant from God is always a prerequisite to what they jump into. Always. They're not praying. They're not having serious time with the Father. See, this is why I'm bringing up the voice of God and how desperate we are this morning, because I got to tell you something. Moses tells them to come near. They said, we're afraid. We don't want to get near. You tell us what he says. And Moses says his nearness will test you, but it will also stop you from sinning. And I want you to make an equivalent. I'm almost done here. When you're talking to God and you're open to the voice, you're also praying, you're getting near God. And that closeness, that closeness has a tendency to combat compromise. It does. It has a tendency to truly combat. It can truly stop you from sinning. The voice of God, the nearness of God are one and the same to me, because you're not going to hear if you're not near. And the reality is, for the church, we need more of the Lord. I think a lot of people are kicking themselves. I think a lot of Christians are, they're trying to fight the world. They're trying to keep it out. They're trying to do this. Their Christianity is kind of a version of moralism, which bothers me, in that, yeah, there's a lot of good moral people. I've actually met people that were moral that were atheists. But obviously, our morality is different because we're moral, but we also have a Father in heaven. And that's really critical, I'm telling you. You will not find a person go, yeah, man, I sat the whole night in prayer with God. Man, the minute I stepped out, I went to the club. It just doesn't work that way. Because the nearness of God has a tendency to test your heart, to try your heart, and to keep you better off. But if we're going to hear the Lord in this year, we're going to need to understand this a lot better. Now, sometimes people go, you know, I don't have a clue what he's saying. But I would say something. Think about also the heart that goes, I'd love to hear you. Because it has a twofold purpose, too. Now, I want to say this. If this doesn't do it, well, then I'm not worried about the voice of God, because this is the Bible, obviously. And if I don't like this, well, the other part, like Mike start a ministry, ain't going to work, because this is the ultimate guidebook. So I will say this. If I can't listen to what's black and white, I can't listen intuitively if he tries to get me to go somewhere in my ear. No, it's interesting. For some people, they feel an inclination. I have a lot of stuff that I don't like, and even some of the trips we've taken, you got to hear God. You really do. You got to feel good about it. And it's funny, because even when they offered the paid trip to India, it just didn't feel God. This was paid. I mean, it was paid. They took care of it. And Marcus came, hey, your ticket's paid for. It's already done. Well, that's awesome. And I had things to deal with, but here's the point. I had issues, and we were going through a great transition to the church, but you have to understand something. Even though that was true, if God would have spoke to me and inclined me to go, I don't care what's going on, I would have went. Convenient, inconvenient, change, it doesn't matter. If God says go, then I know he's got the other end taken care of. But when he's not in it, I'm not real secure about the other end, because he's not willing it, he's not speaking it. We don't do it. And I knew deep inside, even when it was offered, we're like, yeah, we're going to do India in September, and then they wanted to do the Philippines in October. And my heart's just saying, that's not what's going to happen. Even when they were talking about it in April, my heart's saying, that's not going to happen. And then it got confirmed because my wife had brought up something earlier in the year, and she had really spoke the same thing. And it absolutely was an affirmation. It was good for me because I needed that, because these are guys like, hey, we need you, and you're supposed to teach this class. If you're not there, that whole dynamic won't be there. Well, that's true. But there'll be another dynamic, and God brought you guys, and they did amazing things. We're going to close, and I'm going to say in this, it's really important, because I'm going to say this. Sometimes God will give you a strategy, okay? Now, I'm going to close with Hebrews 12, and I'm going to read 12, 18 through 27. You know, I'm talking about Sinai, and I want to give you what God says we're at now. There is actually a scripture that describes our experience as believers, and it's very literal. I want to read it to you in Hebrews 12, verses 18, and we're going to close with this. And I like it because it kind of shows us the nature of our existence. You know, people go, well, that was Moses. And Mount Sinai, that was different. Yes, it's true. It was the giving of the law. It was the first time God was meeting with one of his people like that. In fact, what it says in other scriptures, that as God was on Mount Sinai, there were thousands of angels around him. People don't realize this, but it's not in the Exodus story. It's in another story. It's one of the prophetic letters, that there were myriads and myriads on the top of Mount Sinai. So when Moses was up there, he was the only human with God. But heaven kind of came down on Mount Sinai. And it says there were myriads and myriads of angels. No wonder his hair turned white. Remember? I've seen the movie. I know what the Bible says. I like Cecil B. DeMille's, although some of those guys, you know, when they're reading, you know, or quoting, you know, in the Passover, it's like, yeah, you guys are Catholic, no doubt about it. Because Pentecostal never speak that way, and Jews actually don't speak that way either, so it sounded interesting. But I still like the old Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston. It has great value. I love when the sea, you know what I mean? I can't believe when they remade it, they made an environmental thing, you know, the nature is mad at you, and that's why this is happening. It's like, wow, God was judging sin and rebellion, and now you're turning this to the trees got hurt, therefore now you have it. Wow. Yeah. I'd love somebody to see, and I've told my wife this, modern effects, you know, updated. Matt could relate to this, FX. Yeah, I'd love to see a biblical version of Exodus again with kind of renewed technology, but same story. It would be great. They could even take Cecil B. DeMille's script and use it, because somebody's already did a work for the time, all times for that. It says, you have not come to a mountain that may be touched into a blazing fire, into darkness and gloom and a whirlwind. Describing Mount Sinai. And the blast of the trumpet and the sound of the words which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word should be spoken to them. I don't know, you guys understand, sometimes you're getting a bird's eye and reading other scriptures about Mount Sinai. It's like a multicolored car. You've got to read different sides to get the picture of what was going on up there. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. Again, we're getting Mount Sinai stuff that's not quoted in Mount Sinai. But we also have to remember that the Bible always works as a collective many times. Okay? But you have come to Mount Zion, which would be Christ, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. Do you understand what that actually means? It means that heaven, it's possible that heaven, you know, we've often pointed out because the heavens is the way the old writers described it. But it also means that there's a parallel universe that the one is not with the other. You're the ghost realm, that's the permanent realm. So we're the kind of floaty figures, you know what I mean? And you've come to this thing currently as a believer. That's what it's actually saying. To the heavenly Jerusalem and to myriads of angels. So when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, there was myriads of angels. Right now, your life is always walking around amongst a denseness, Jesus, of heavenly activity. Mm-hmm. Your existence is actually greater than Sinai because we're the city of the living God. In the city of God, guess who dwells in the throne of the city? God. Mm-hmm. So it takes actually the elevation of Sinai and it brings it in a way, not down, but it brings us to walk in a divine presence of God with angels.
with the Father, with the Son. This is why the thing, and I'm not getting into a sermon of where is heaven located. If it's up, that's fine. But the writer in Hebrews describes something, myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. And I love it says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth back then, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of the things which can be shaken, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I want you to understand this, and there's a beautiful thing to saying, you know, we need to hear God. And I will tell you this, if you've got a situation, I think we sell ourselves short. I think we hit a situation where, again, I can't find it in the Bible. It doesn't say, might do this, might do that. And I need that inkling from the Lord. And I think sometimes, if I do that and say, yeah, he's not going to, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. And we kind of, to me, it's almost like a we kind of say, well, I just hope. I've often told people, why talk like something can't be done when God wishes to do it? Do you trust that when you need that inkling, when you need that intuitive voice, when you need to know something, you've got to have a sense. If you come to God with disbelief, think about this for a minute. God says, I'm going to give Mike a direction, and this thing's come up, he needs wisdom. I'm going to give him wisdom on how to choose this. Otherwise, it's like a crapshoot. You can take a basket and, you know what I mean, put some balls and numbers, and if you draw one, it's yes. If you draw two, it's not. And you think about this mindset where we put God at a disadvantage. We do kind of, well, yeah, I'd love it if he would, but he's not going to. Or he doesn't answer me. I want to change your thinking. I really do. I want you to know something, that there are times you get into situations that you need to hear. Now, I will say this. When you even do that, sometimes people in biblical balance will come and you'll run into somebody and they'll speak something to you directly related. And they make it pretty easy. I've had that many times. You know, it's amazing of the way words come in. You guys wouldn't believe some of the stuff I've seen. I've went through situations that were actually dangerous to where, and I, as I'm going through the situation, God had spoke to me. In fact, one time I had to do something that could have really ruined many lives. And the Lord very clearly said, because something had went before me. There was another report that was actually lies. And he said, there's been lying. And he gave me a specific way and said, you do thus and such, but you don't do thus and such. And he actually warned me. I had no way of knowing that was true. But when I got into the situation and did what I did and it panned out the right way, and I found out later there was tons of lies. In fact, total inaccuracy. And again, I needed that because I was heading to a thing and I had to respond to a situation and I needed immediate wisdom. Because the wrong move could have actually, and I knew this. I wasn't like willy-nilly, like, that doesn't matter. God's in control. No, I knew, depending on what goes on here, this could change multiple lives. When you get into these situations, there's nothing wrong with you saying, God, you love me. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. You want to speak. Simple as that. And then if you don't say nothing, I might not just go say anything. You know what I'm saying? Somebody once said, what does it mean, no answer? I said, either no or later. You know, I've been asking God for this, and he just isn't giving it to me. And I'm not getting an answer. I was like, well, I guess that's kind of obvious, because he does it to me too. And the silence is either later, Mike, or no, Mike. Or you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to burst all our bubbles, but it's like, okay, Father, but I trust you. I want to hear your voice. But it's funny, because when I've needed it so many times, right there, man, right there, right there, right there. But sometimes we don't even think that way, and I think that's why it happens. So let's all rise, and let's just ask God for a greater sensitivity. You will need to hear God. You, me, we all do. And whether he sends a friend, whether it's in, you know, some kind of intuitive, and you need to hear. I'm curious, you know, as we're living our lives right now. Hey, God, how do you feel about this? Oh, I'm having this thing. How do you feel about this, Father? There's this thing. There's this person. I'm having this thing, this relationship. Any of it. I'm going here, God. I mean, I often wonder, what would happen if a Christian said, Lord, you know, I just need to pray and ask you really what your thought is on this. And you would be surprised how it'll come to you. I'm telling you. Father, we close today because we need the voice of God. I thank you, God. I thank you. I say this really quite out front. You've spared me on his life. I think about the night in that wagon, even to this day, you know, what a danger. What a danger. What things could have happened. All of us here have had deliverances, even angelic intervention that we don't even know about. Lord, what I know about and what's happened is two different things. Father, I have heard you and I've absolutely blown it off. And yet I've heard you and listened. So my prayer today is you just send my sheep hear my voice. We have people that go through things. They need to know which way they're heading. And you'll bring stuff to them. Father, I've had people, three different people from three different locations speak the same word to me in a 48-hour period that were not aware of my life, my situation. What a beautiful thing. We've seen missionaries. We've seen calls from overseas or texts that absolutely spoke to a situation. This is your voice. This is what you do. And Lord, I pray today that people would understand, you know, people here are your kids. They're your kids. They're your family. You absolutely want to love on them. You want to speak to them. You want to direct them. Father, sometimes our situations are ugly. Sometimes they're painful. And the thing for me that is like a cure-all, you can send encouragement to me. Many times you let me know you're involved. No questions. You're involved. You're there. You remind me that everything I see is not all that is. And these are ways that you speak to us, affirm us. Sometimes you've spoke to me and rebuked me. Father, I want people here to expect the best. I don't want them to walk around. They're not aimless. They don't ever have to be aimless. Father, there's a grace and a mercy, too, because even the times where I've blown it, you've come back and said, let's try this again. Listen now. Let's try this again. You blew that clear out of the water, but let's start again. And as a father, you have a tendency to work with us. And if it's complex for us, Lord, you have a tendency to break it down to where it's simpler. For me, sometimes, Lord, there's things I couldn't understand it to the depth I needed to, and you walked me through like only a parent could do with a child, where you walked me through and made my ears better. Lord, help us. Sometimes we need to discern situations where we're in them, and they're dangerous, they're hard. We need a word. We need it, whether you send it to our brothers and sisters, whether you give us a dream, whether you've got that, I call it the intuitive voice, where it doesn't have a volume, it's a voice in your head, but it is different than the way I think. I pray today your blessing, God. Speak to us, help us, encourage us. And Lord, the last thing I pray, I figure it this way. When I pray, that is the one time where I'm shutting everything out and saying, I'm going to take my prayer time. If there ever is a time where we really can hold our ears, our prayer time can be a beautiful thing. And Father, I know that. And I just pray we need the reinvention of that in the Church of America really bad, because we're so busy. We're so wired in right now, all of us. I mean, we all have smartphones, cell phones. We have cable. We have so many ways. And Lord, you know, I guess it's moderation in all things, but it's important, Father, because we're so addicted to noise. I don't even know if we realize sometimes how noisy our heads are now. I know mine is, that's for certain, and I can't speak for anybody else in the room, but Father, bring those times where we can sit with you in our prayer closet. Father, I'm convinced that I know every Christian has heard you one way or the other. I've never met someone, if I began to talk, that it wasn't clear that you'd spoken to them. It was intuitive sometimes. It was through a circumstance. Father, and one last thing, help us to read when you're just crying out to something. Lord, like anybody, we can run through it like a bull and break through barriers that you're trying to set up. Many times, Lord, to get to the wrong thing, we have to break down our conscience, everything, decency. We have to run through safety railings you've put so we wouldn't go off the cliff. It's important we understand, because Father, I figure it this way, you're the creator of the universe. If you're telling me danger and I exceed that, then I am really in danger. If my conscience is grabbing me and it's saying do not go further, if that's coming from you, I'm in a lot of trouble if I exceed that. So I pray for redemption today too, Lord. We all realize, even as I'm saying this, people, we think back to the times in our lives, oh, it was so clear, I had that urge, and I knew what God wanted. Father, all we can do is change today. There's not a thing I can do about the past except learn off of it. So I pray blessing for Anna, for Anna Gabriella, for Armand, for Barbara, for Matt, for Don, for Josh, for John, for Isaac, for Jashenya, for Lido. I just pray, Lord, we stand before you today. And we want to be, Lord, we want to be those people that are sharpening our listening. Where sometimes there's a scripture, we need to share it with somebody next to us that you speak in. And we share it in obedience. We say, hey, God gave me this scripture for you, and I'm going to read it. I've seen that done. It's a beautiful thing. Might we be more sensitive, not less, and might we be deeper, not more shallow. Might we just continue to grow in you today. And I pray an alleviation this morning for those that are burdened, for those that got challenges. We pray in the name of Jesus, lift that up now, Father, and bring joy in the morning. It says the joy comes. We're waiting on the joy, not the pain, not the depression. We're waiting on the joy and the hope. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen, everybody. God bless you. I saw you look when I turned the amp. I know you weren't worried because I just turned the amp, not the power. Plus, you're separate anyway, so I knew that you knew that. We've gotten good with that, Mom. No more errors.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not.